Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 100, if you will, please. Psalm 100, we're doing a series on prayer, or approaching God, approaching our God in heaven, our Heavenly Father. Psalm 100, today's message deals with approaching God thankfully, approaching God thankfully, with a thankful heart. Psalm 100, and follow along as I read this short chapter and see if you can see some of the thankfulness that would be in these verses. He says in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." What a wonderful passage of Scripture, this 100th Psalm. All of us have trials. All of us do. When I was preparing for this message, reviewing it and all, I got thinking about some of the trials I'd had over my lifetime. And you'll be glad that I'm not going to share all of them with you today. We don't have that much time. But I remember one time, I think I've shared this story with you before, but I like it, so I want to do it again. But when I graduated from seminary, we were going up north to Virginia. And I had a 62 Buick Electra, a white Buick Electra. And I had the transmission service and all because I was going to move all of our goods in a U-Haul trailer to Virginia. And so we started out. The guy assured me that everything was fine in my transmission, the bands were good, so on and so forth. We got to Birmingham, Alabama, to my wife's brother's house, and he had invited us out. And I noticed that it sounded like I had about 200 or 300 crickets under the hood of the car. And I noticed that it seemed like the motor was going about 80 and the car was going about 50. And that's exactly what was happening. The bands were slipping in that car. And so we ate with him, and I think he gave me $100. I don't remember. He was pretty well off, and he probably could have given us more, but I sure appreciated the $100 he gave us, whatever it was, in the meal. And so we got on over to Virginia, and that car, it just got worse and worse and worse. And I thought I was going to a job as a youth director. The pastor had told me to come on up. He needed a youth director. He just didn't tell me he wasn't going to pay me for it. But at any rate, and by the way, if you go into full-time service, talk those things over with the pastor before you go there. Don't be too mean about it, but talk it over with him. But anyway, we got up in the mountains of Virginia. And boy, I thought, we'll never make it over the next one. Never make it over the next one. And we had one more whole big long range to go over. And that car it was really not doing well. So I pulled off on the interstate. I was young enough then, I jumped the fence, ran up to the side of the mountain, got on my knees and prayed and said, "God, if you'll just let me get over this mountain, I really would appreciate it." And that's about all I did, was got over that mountain. And that was the sorriest car from then on. I think I put 3 transmissions in it, used transmissions, all of that. But boy, that was tough. I had just quit a good job, my wife, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And that was a trial to us. And there are other trials. And all of you are thinking right now probably, but my trial, what happened to me? Or maybe you can relate to that. And some of you are going through trials right now. Right now, today. I know that. I know because I'm the pastor. And some of you, I don't know, you're going through trials and you hadn't felt free or don't feel free for some reason, whatever reason. That's fine to share those things. But I know that there are people all in here that have gone through trials and many are going through trials right now. Some it's physical, and you have some physical problems. And some it's financial, and you've had some reversals, and things are not working out. And some there are other reasons. It may be a family problem, maybe a family member that's crushing and breaking your heart. We all have trials, and when we're going through those trials, we can pray so fervently, can't we? I mean, I didn't have any problem that day getting out of my car, jumping the fence, running up on the mountain, getting down and praying. There wasn't any big problem for me because I had a great need and I wanted to make that other mountain. But I can tell you that sometimes, and it's all right, that's good. It's all right to pray fervently when you have trials and difficulties, but there sometimes is a missing element in our prayers, and that is thankfulness. It's the word thankfulness. I mean, really being thankful and naming what we're thankful for, not just, Lord, I sure am thankful for all your blessings, but really naming what we're thankful for. We are quick to pray about what we need, and especially in an emergency or a time of crisis, but sometimes we're very, very slow to properly thank God, not only in word, but in the way we live, in what we do, and our deeds that would speak volumes to God and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done for me and all of your blessings. Now, we have some parents here today, and most of you would say, I sure do like it if I do something for my children, if they come to me and say, thank you. And you know, that's just human nature. Parents like to hear their children say, and you young people listen up, and you children, go to your parents and say once in a while, thank you. And when they get up off the floor and go, you know, and have their cardiac arrest, then you'll know you've done the right thing. But every once in a while, thank them. Be thankful because they like to be thanked. And I know that's the way I am. Even today as a parent or a grandparent, we like to hear the words, thank you. Very simple words. You know what? God is no different. God wants to hear us thank Him for what He's done for us and what He is doing for us. And we live in a self-centered, self-serving type world. That's part of the problem we have. We need to stop complaining, no matter what it is, and find something to thank God for. There's always something that we can thank God for, that we need to thank Him. The psalmist said in 95:2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms or with songs. Let's come to Him with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. And so all of that reflects the heart. The psalmist was talking about what is reflected from the heart and mind of the Christian or the believer, the person who understands what God has done for him. So we ought to be thankful people, and a thankful people are a joyful people. Would anybody agree with that? A thankful people are a joyful people. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's within. That comes from within. Because you are joyful inside, you want to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's an inner attitude. It's an attitude of thanksgiving. The songwriter, Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote these words, and it's a familiar song. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Just stop and count them. If you want to go to sleep at night, don't count sheep, count your blessings. You'll probably sleep better and go to sleep quicker if you count your blessings. But we live in a world of problems and trials. But he says, in spite of that, make a joyful noise. Even though we see the decay, even though we see the crime, even though we see the problems, make a joyful noise. Thankful people are a joyful people. And then the psalmist tells us that thankful people are a serving people. Not only joyful, but they are serving people. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise from within. And then because of that, serve the Lord with gladness. You see, that is a natural expression from people who are thankful. You know, as a pastor, I don't have to beg, plead, or coerce people who love God and who are thankful to do something for God. I don't have to say, why don't you, please, would you? Because they love Him. And they are joyful. And they are so thankful for what God has done that they want to serve God. Because they are thankful for what God has done for them. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It makes us do something. It constrains us. It pulls on us. It has an impact on us. It does something to our hearts because we are thankful and we love Him. We go back and look at Calvary. Wow, what a picture. I hope you're reading those accounts in the Synoptic Gospels, the Alike Gospels of the last days of Jesus. It's a good time to do that. We don't get involved in Ash Wednesday and Lent and all that because we're not Catholic, all right? We just reread the Scriptures and those things, and they remind us of what Christ has done. But I go back to Calvary, and I would challenge you about two questions. Number one, when you look at it, are you serving God? Look at Calvary and answer the question, are you serving God? And secondly, why are you serving? Not only are you serving, but why are you serving God? Is it the overflow of a thankful heart? It should be. My heart is overflowed with the love of God and the grace of God and what He's done for me. And I should be so thankful. And because of that, I'm serving God. And I can tell you, that kind of service is going to endure time without end. That kind of service is going to last. It's not going to be up and down. It's not going to quit. It's going to keep on. It's going to last because it's based on our love for God, a serving people that are a thankful people. And then thankful people are also a praising people. They're joyful people, a serving people, and a praising people. Verse 2, again he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? What does it say? Singing. Come before His presence with singing. I believe that heartfelt singing is just an overflow of thankfulness and the love we have for God. I was sitting up here a while ago watching the people sing these songs, these good old songs. That song the choir did, I almost shouted, but I'm a Baptist, I can't do it. But I came close. And I held it back. I think I did that, but anyway, you know. But I'm telling you, I looked and I saw people singing. I thought, man, isn't that beautiful to see them singing, singing, smiles on their face, some of them, most of them. Saw two or three asleep. I honestly saw three or four that were not singing at all. Looked like they were mad at the whole world and everything. Maybe they have just had a tonsillectomy or something. I don't know. I don't know about those things. But I know this, that a natural thing from being thankful is singing to the glory of God. That's what the psalmist said. Natural overflow. Come thy fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. So let her rip. Amen. We sing by letter around here. Let her rip. Sing it out from the heart, and God will bless that. And we need to do it, no matter how bad things are. And I know some of you are going through deep trials. I know that. But we have a great God. And would you agree with me? He is the fount of every blessing. That He is. And then thankfulness brings action. Verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That's action. That's an action word. Enter. You got to move. You got to walk. You got to enter into His gates. I believe that a thankful Christian will attend church. Amen. You know where I'm going with the next couple of statements, so I just won't even have to say them. But anyway, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking. You know what that means, don't you? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Who are they? The backslidden, the unsaved, the unregenerate, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. They were singing about Jesus coming again a while ago. So much the more we ought to want to go to church, learn about God, sing praises, serve Him, teach, do whatever we can do. Corporate worship. Go to church and give thanks to God. Be in the services. I believe if you're thankful and you really love God, unless you're providentially hindered, I honestly believe you'll be back in God's house every time the doors are open. That'll be your priority. You'll be so thankful. Oh, I know there are a lot of churches don't have services on Sunday night anymore, Wednesday night. They barely have it on Sunday morning, some of them. You know, the preacher gets up and gives a little 15-minute sermonette and goes about his business. But let me tell you, I just believe what the Bible says. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's where do you assemble? Not down at Joe's pool hall. You assemble at the church building, where the church comes together corporately, and we worship. What a privilege. That's not a chewing out, that's a privilege. What a privilege. To come to church is better than anything on television tonight. And it's better than those fish you won't catch if you're out of God's will fishing on Sunday. Like the preacher that went golfing on Sunday and made a hole in one, but he couldn't tell anybody. That's bad, isn't it? I believe that thankful Christians will always be involved in giving to the Lord's work. In other words, there'll be a heartfelt appreciation. In one of my messages, I have a little illustration that just came to my mind a while ago about a preacher who gave a little girl a box of chocolates. And boy, she tore into those chocolates and she started eating and had it all over her face. And he said, "Honey, could I have one of those?" And she grabbed it back and said, "No, these are mine." You know, a lot of Christians are sort of like that. God gives us the whole box of chocolate, and He says, "Would you give me one chocolate-covered peanut?" And we say, "No, that's my peanut, my chocolate." We shouldn't have that attitude. Heartfelt appreciation. Heartfelt sacrifice. Because we love Him, because He sacrificed for us. Giving praise to Him and giving of our substance to Him. Giving of our money to Him. And if talking about money bothers you, that's probably your God. That's why it bothers you. You see, money, giving to God, comes out of a heart of saying, "I love You." Every time you write a check, sing a song, every time you serve Him, you are saying to Him, "I love You. I worship You with my heart. God, I thank You. I thank You for what You are doing for me and what You've done for me." And then worship turns into action, not just talk. Worship turns into action, not just talk. Anybody can talk a good game. It takes somebody to go down on the field and knock heads and play ball. You know, it brings action, not just talk. Shortly after World War II, two families were waiting in line to see their pastor. And this was after church. And they were in a church building program at that time. This happened to be. The first family came and said, "We want to give $200. They hardly had it, but they said, "We're going to give $200 in memory of our son who was killed 2 months before the war ended." And so this other couple heard what they had said, and they decided that they were going to up their giving. And their son went overseas, but he came back home safely. One was giving because their son died, and in memory of him. And the other said, look, we were just going to give that much, but when we got to thinking about it, God brought our son back home. And to be thankful and to show that thankfulness for the fact that he brought him back home, they gave double, more than double of what the other family had given. Here's a word. You probably don't use it much. Thinkfulness. T-H-I-N-K. Thinkfulness. Because if we are thinking people, thinkfulness and thankfulness go together. Think about it. Think about it. Thankfulness and thankfulness go together. Thankfulness comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, and it literally means thankfulness. That's what the term means, thankfulness. And beloved, if we think just a little bit about what God has given us, we're on our way to hell. My. I want you to just think just a second of how horrible it would be to die and go to hell. Don't ever forget what God saved us from. I have a little problem with claustrophobia. Not much. But when I get in an airplane, fly 17 hours, I get a little uptight. You know, I want to jump out, but I know it'd do no good. So I just stay in. That would be dumber than just staying there. But when we think about hell, you think about the fact, just think about it, you have an eternal soul. Everybody got that? You have, when you were conceived, you got what I'm saying about being conceived, right? Not later. When you were conceived, you were a living soul, an entity in your mother's womb. And your soul started to exist, and your soul will always exist. It will never cease to exist. You have a soul, spirit. You're going to live somewhere forever. You ever think of that? The fact that you're never going to not exist? Sometimes I talk to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I didn't ask for this thing. What did you bring me in the world for? Wasn't my choice. And then I laugh and I say, oh Lord, I understand and you understand me. And I'm just talking. And I say, why did I come in this world? I didn't ask to be an eternal soul. But the fact is, I am. Like it or not, I am an eternal soul. And my soul and spirit are going to spend eternity somewhere, either hell or heaven. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. You can burn all the candles you want to. You can buy out the candle shop and burn it for your loved one, and you won't get them 1 inch out of hell. There's nothing in the Bible that teaches that. Nowhere in the Word of God that would teach anything like that. I've seen people give big time money to have a priest burn candles, and they were doing it to try to pray their loved ones out of purgatory. I saw that as I stood in the Vatican. And there happened to be a lady that was standing there close to me, and she was giving a lot of money. First, she wasn't quite giving enough, and he just grunted until she gave more, and then finally gave her some candles, and they were supposed to be representing praying out of purgatory. No such thing in the Bible. As a tree falleth, that's it, brother. When you die, that is it. You either go to hell or heaven. Hell or heaven. That's it. So how would you like to spend eternity in hell? I've been through the catacombs in Rome where all the Christians were underground. Some of them were underground because of a denominational organization that Christianized paganism. And they were underground. I've been down there where they had on the side of me where I could barely get through, and they had the little graves of babies. Well, they had to bury those babies, just the bones there, in adults, and they lived underground all down through there. And I got to thinking about that. We had a smart aleck priest that was leading us through there, and we got to one place, and they turned all the lights out, and he said, I don't know where we are and how we're going to get out of here. I started to punch him, but I didn't. I was a Baptist, and I couldn't do that, you know. I thought, that's not funny to me. I have a little claustrophobia. You shouldn't do that. But I got to thinking about the fact that, wow, what would it be like to be in the corridors of hell forever? You think about that. The corridors of hell forever? Never to get out. Suffering, eternal torment. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If it scares you, good. Maybe it'll make you think enough that you'll receive Christ as your Savior. But look, if we have already been saved, thank God we do not have to worry about it. I'll never have to suffer in the corridors of hell. But one day I'll go to heaven. Either in the rapture, and I'm just mean enough to try to hold out long enough, just to spite y'all, until the rapture gets here. You guys. Thank God we're going to heaven, amen? If we're saved. And we will be there forever and ever with Jesus, with God. And you say, well, what are we going to do? We're going to be bored? Oh, are you kidding? Do you know what's out in the universe out there? Do you know how many galaxies? You know, God's going to have us busy. We're going to be doing plenty of things, and we're going to enjoy every last eternal second of it. And it'll never end. It'll never end. Forever and forever and forever. Think about your loved ones that have gone on. Hey, one of these days, forever and forever and forever, we won't have to be in a rush. Thank God there won't be any cell phones in heaven, I don't think. I believe they're going to all go down there, you know. Let them call each other. Oh, praise God, we'll go to heaven. Amen. Forever and ever and ever. Aren't you thankful? Aren't we thankful today? If we have no other reason to be thankful today but the fact that we are not going to go to hell, we have much to praise God for. Much to praise God for. Our trials seem a little smaller in light of that reality. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. See, God knew some people couldn't sing good. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. By the way, all singing to God, He likes. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is, how long? Everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. We have so much to be thankful for. A lost person, I would encourage you today to focus on God's love and grace and provision for your sins. He's paid for your sins. Trust Him as your Savior so that you won't go to hell, so that you'll go to heaven forever and forever and forever. And those of us that are saved, all to Jesus, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. Amen. Why? Because of what He's done for me. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Enter into His presence with thanksgiving. Have you anything you need to come and maybe thank God for today? I know you. Some of you have such trials. God bless you and help you. I don't even know all of them. But try to see God's hand and be thankful no matter what. God's not through yet. Listen, God's not through yet with what you're going through. Joseph, no doubt for a number of years, thought, what is God doing to me? Why has He allowed this to happen to me? But he wound up on top, second man under Pharaoh, and saved the Jewish race so that we could have a Redeemer. And I'm sure he wondered what was happening when his brothers sold him out. God help us to be thankful today. Maybe God is leading you to join our church. You're looking for a Bible-believing church like ours. May God help you to come if He leads you. If you're here without Christ, come and receive Him as your Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, dear God, for Your grace and mercy. Jesus, we look at the cross and we say thank You. Oh, thank You for taking our place, shedding Your blood. The love grew where the blood was shed. The blood was shed for us. Thank You for that. I pray that somebody who's here without Christ would be saved. I pray that we'd be more thankful as we leave this place today. Help those who are going through deep trials, God, to turn those over to You, but to, at the same time, somehow, be thankful. God, give us victory through Christ, in whose name we pray.